All right, well, rather than send the children away to overnight camp that's for probably the same amount of money, we could all go away together, and it would be a time that the family could be together and share this time together. Because, you see, we didn't, Sylvan was always busy, and so was I, and we really were not, we didn't go out together during the year. We didn't go out for dinner with the children and so on. The children had their social life, and, you know, we took them everywhere. They did everything. I took them to children's theater and to museum, to Buell Planetarium, to everywhere, and they went swimming and all these things, you know, how we Jewish parents think our children have to have all this, and they did. And we took them everywhere. But we didn't do things like that together, the five of us. So we sat down, talked it over, and we decided that what we would do would be to go away together. And we did. We started when Nancy was 2.5 years old, and every year for about 15 years, even when the children were in high school and when they were in college, they still wanted to do this. We went to Cape Cod. And we went to the cottage. Some years it was only for 2 weeks, sometimes for three. And one time I remember that was really the high point of all the Cape Cod vacations. We took a beautiful beach house, and we were there for all of August through Labor Day. And we did this every year. And to this day, our children still remember this. In fact, they love it so much that they still go on their own, and 2 years, well, they were all through college and on their own, and when they said several years ago, this was, oh, let's take a cottage on the Cape again, let's go. And Sylvan and I went with Robert and Nancy. Franklin was married and he couldn't get away at the time that we went, but the four of us went. And last year I went with Robert and Nancy and their young friends, and we went to the Cape. When the boys were married, they part of their honeymoon, both of them went to the Cape. So they really, it really was very meaningful. They say that to this day that these family vacations were really the most meaningful things in their, you know, growing up.
Do you have any hobbies?
Oh, I don't know. What do you call a hobby?
Needlepoint could be a hobby.
Yeah, needlepoint's a hobby. Book collecting was another one. Stamp collecting was another one. I don't know what else.
What kind of books did you collect?
Well, it's really, you know, when I shouldn't have said book collecting. That sounds as though I were collecting first editions or things like that. I don't mean that. I mean that. Well, when I was in elementary school and in high school, it used to be my fondest dream that when I had a home of my own, I would have my own little library, and I would own my books. I used to think that would be the most wonderful thing to do. And so, through the years, I did. I bought all the books that I really wanted to own, and I have here all these are the classics. And then I like buying books. I love the early American history, and so I buy those books as they come out. And of course, I'm very politically minded too, and there are certain books I've bought because of that. That's it.
Do you see any change in neighborhoods over the years?
Well, I can't tell you that I know all that much about Pittsburgh. My friends who drive and who are so kind and take me all the time know how I really don't know my way around, and so I can't answer that. I know that this street has not changed in the time that we've lived here, which is 31 years now. It has if there's been any change, it's been for the better, because people who've moved in have improved their property and so on. But this has stayed the same so far. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few years, but so far it hasn't changed. I can't really answer that question too well.
What organizations do you belong to? What community involvement?
Well, I was always interested, as I told you, in the political situation. I was always interested in public affairs. And so I really was an active member of the Democratic Party. I mean, active in the sense that I worked in a campaign for a candidate. Not that I ran for any political office in the party. And I joined with Sullivan Americans for Democratic Action. I was always interested in education, and so of course I did belong to the PTA, although I must say that I never thought very much of them, and as a matter of fact, never was active. I simply paid my dues until 1 year at Alderdice, my neighbor down the street here, Hillary Smith, I believe was the president, and she chided me for not doing anything for PTA and doing so much for other organizations. And she said, just come in and I'll let you do whatever you see needs to be done. And so I said, all right, let me chair a committee that gets some sort of an enrichment program into Taylor Alderdice. And so another woman and I, and Mrs. Dunkelberger, I don't remember her first name, did enlist a number of fine speakers, professors, and artistic people and so on, and they came to Alderdice and presented, I guess it was a lecture program for the most part. So that was really all I did for PTA. And of course, I was extremely interested in the Federation. And I guess that was because of my training at home. I became involved in the campaign in 1952, I guess. Charlotte Rosenberg was not campaign chairman, she was chairman of general solicitations. And she, a good friend of mine, asked me to work. It's okay. Asked me to work and take this section, general solicitations, right around in here, 58, and this whole square here, 5800 block. And the reason I remember it so distinctly was I never could just do something and just do that. I had been hearing that that the community chess people were complaining that the Jewish people didn't contribute to community chess. They contributed generously to Federation, but they didn't contribute to community chess. And so I said, okay, I would do it, but I said, I'm going to keep a record of what they contribute. And then later on, and I had been asked to work on a community chess campaign too, and I took the same territory and really kept the record. And it was as I suspected it would be. Our Jewish people, in fact, gave more than the non-Jewish people to community chess too. I mean, contributor for contributor. So I made a little study at the same time I was doing a campaign. And you're smiling, Bessie. I guess you think that was kind of silly, don't you?
Not at all.
Anyway, that was how I started the Federation, as a captain, I guess it was, in the campaign 1952 or 3, I'm not sure which it was. And then I went on, still working on campaign. I became the general solicitations chairman, and I thought, as I told you before, I'm always interested in education and in training, and so it was the training part that really interested me more than the fundraising part, and I worked on that training meeting and so on. And in doing campaign work and training, I really became convinced that you can't do a good job in campaign unless the people are educated to why and what they're giving for. And I felt that you couldn't do that during a campaign. You couldn't train the workers really that quickly. And you certainly couldn't educate the public on what Federation was and what the needs were and why. And so I began thinking in terms of a year-round organization for the women's division. And Florence Reisenstein and Myrtle Fisher really went along with that. They felt very strongly about that, too. And see who else was involved in that effort. Marcella Feingold and Charlotte Rosenberg. Yeah, that was it. We were the five. Well, by that time, I was campaign chairman. It was in 1950, the 56th campaign. And we women then got together and decided that we wanted to recommend to United Jewish Federation Board that they establish the women's division on a year-round basis. And we made that recommendation, and the board voted to let us do that. And all of the women I've just mentioned were on the Federation Board. And Mr. Kaplan was president of the board, and he appointed me chairman of the committee to do that job.
Which Mr. Kaplan?
Lewis Kaplan. He was president of the board, and he appointed me to chair the committee that would establish a year-round women's division. But when he did that, by that time I had already accepted the presidency of council, and I said, well, it would have to wait until I finished my presidency, which it did. And then we established the women's division on a year-round basis. I had, in the meantime, gone to Detroit to visit where they had a year-round, very fine year-round women's division, and to Cleveland where they also had one.
Did the women's division not start until after you had finished your presidency?
Yeah, because it seems to me that sometime in there, between 56 and 58, we made the recommendation to the board. The board voted that we do this and then appointed the committee. All the women I just mentioned were on the committee. We were the committee.
When they formed it, who was the first president?
And then the first president was Florence Reisenstein. And then I was the second. But I was interested in Federation, so you asked me, you know, what organizations was I interested
what
in and worked in.
What year were you president of the Women's Division of the Federation?
I finished my council presidency in 58. And then Florence was president of Women's Division. I followed her, so let's see. I think we established in 58, and she was till 61, and then I was 61. Oh, I'm really not positive, but somewhere I went back to teaching in 63, and I had finished my presidency then, so I must have been 60 to 63, something like that.
Tell me about
I could tell you exactly if you want me to. I can look it up, but I don't think you need to.
And tell me about your involvement with council.
All right. When Nancy started going to school all day, I would never take, I didn't take any jobs of any kind in the community, none of them, not Federation or anything, until Nancy went to school all day, because I guess I have a kind of one-track mind, and I just felt I knew myself. I knew if I got involved in an organization, I would really be involved, and I didn't want to take that much time away from the children and so on. So when Nancy was old enough to be in school all day, I allowed us how I would. I would, you know, get going in some community work. I debated between going back to school and working in the community, and decided that, well, maybe I would work in the community. And right away, I guess the first one who, one of the Hadassah women, was the first to realize that I was going to be free now and called me and got me involved in Hadassah, and I became a group president in Hadassah.
Do you remember those years?
I remember, yes. It was 1952 to 1954.
Did you do anything else for Hadassah? Did you hold any other offices?
I couldn't wait to get out of the job because, as I said before, I'm really not a fundraiser, and it seemed to me, I could be, you know, doing them an injustice, but it seemed to me that that was the prime objective of the organization, that it was organized to raise funds, and that was it. And though they had an American Affairs Committee that I thought was going, a program which I thought was what was going to interest me, it really didn't amount to much of anything. And that's really what I was interested in, public affairs. And so Minnie Sussman got me interested, I think, in council's public affairs program. So I, at the same time that I was at the Hadassah group president, I think I took a chairmanship in public affairs. And as soon as I got out of there, it was a two-year term as group president, and so I did finish that, and I did it conscientiously. I didn't cheat them, but I'd had it after 2 years, and that's when I got started in council.
What was the year?
The year was 1954. I didn't join council till 1952.
Were you ever an officer at council?
Nope. I was president, but I wasn't any other officer. That's what I thought you meant. I was a public affairs chairman, and then I became what we used to call the bureau head. We now say department head, and a coordinator, as we call them now, I guess. And then I became president in 1956.
How long were you president of council?
2 years. So,
were there any other organizations in which
yes,
you were
yes. active? In 1954, I don't know if you remember, we had a referendum here in Pittsburgh on raising the school taxes. Do you remember that? And I got certainly involved in that. And as a result of that campaign and dismal failure, really, of the campaign to get the of the referendum, a group of us, council was very instrumental in this, organized the Citizens Commission for the Public Schools. Citizens Commission for the Public Schools for Allegheny County, and Pittsburgh was included in Allegheny County. And I worked with that organization for a number of years until it kind of died out, and this present Pittsburgh Council for Public Education really, in a way, was an outgrowth, but not really an outgrowth. Let me put it this way. When they got started, they asked some of those who had been in the other organization to help them get started. I remember that. Well, I didn't have the time. I had gone back to teaching by that time. I just didn't have the time to get involved in it. But I remember that Lillian Friedberg, who had been very active with that Citizens Commission for the Public Schools with us, did help them in their initial organization.
After you were president of council. Have you ever done any other work for council? Have you been...
Well, you mean in council?
Yes. Have you ever done anything else?
Well,
locally
I
or nationally?
I was
council?
The... What we used to have, instead of districts in council, we used to have regions in Pennsylvania. The state of Pennsylvania was one of the regions, and I was regional president for several years. I was on the national board for several years, and I was a national vice chairman of the overseas committee. Here in the Pittsburgh section, after I was president, and after I came back to council again, that there was that 8-year period in which I had gone back to teaching. And then when I came back in 1971, council doesn't lose any time. They got me involved right away again. I have done several things, as you know.
What things?
Well, the very first job, you see the thread that runs through everything, training, education. The very first job I did and that they involved me in was a board workshop. I had retired from my teaching job. My last day was on a Friday in January 1971. It was my last day of teaching, and the next Tuesday I had a telephone call. This is, you don't know me, but I'm Marcia Frumman, and I'm the president of the Pittsburgh section now. It was true, I didn't know her. Shirley Levine told me I ought to call you. We hear you've retired. And I said, the answer's no before you say any more. But she did get me involved. I did the board workshop that June. And as you know, I've been coordinator for the fundraising now for a couple of years. I've been finance chairman for 4 years. Both these things, finance chairman and coordinator for fundraising, really are not in my, really not what anyone who knew me well would have thought I'd ever be doing, but that's what I've been doing. I did another board workshop with a co-chairman, Karen Wolken. What else have I done in council? I don't know.
Is there any other community involvement that we haven't spoken about?
Well, seems to me there is, but... Oh! Yes. I was a member of the committee, the Federation Committee, that established the Chronicle as the Jewish community newspaper, and I was the secretary of that board. It's called the Jewish Publications Foundation of Pittsburgh, I believe. And that's the board that publishes the Chronicle, and I was the first secretary of that board. I was a member of the board of the Jewish Family and Children's Service. I was a vice president at 1.2 before I went back to teaching, and I was chairman of the committee that of the Jewish Family and Children's Service that established the child guidance clinic that they have.
Could you tell me something more about that?
I'm trying to remember so that I'll be accurate, but it seems to me that the money that was used was Gusky Orphanage money that had been left, something like that. But I had better check on that again. I remember only that we worked that out, that I was chairman of that committee, and that worked that out, and we started it in the Jewish Family and Children's Service. I remember when we employed the first director, and how difficult it was really to find somebody, because it was going to have to be part-time work for him, and the child psychiatrists really didn't want to, they didn't have the time that they to give to it, and so on. But I can't remember too many details, really.
Do you remember much about the war years?
Which war? World War One. I remember something from World War One that I'd like to tell you. Remember, I told you the last time how my parents really instilled in me a great love for this country, patriotism. And it wasn't the phony kind of flag-waving patriotism. They truly loved this country and were grateful that they had been able to come here. And August 1914 was just a few months after we had arrived here. Did I tell you this? Anyway, when I started school, they were selling war-saving stamps in the schools. And the boys and girls were asked to sell these stamps, and you were called Minutemen. And when I came home and told my parents about this, well, of course you will sell, and you sell more than anybody else. It started way back then, you see. You sell more than anybody else, and I did. I remember I had a little cap that I wore, and I really sold those stamps. And World War One, I also remember, of course, the shortages, you know, the sugar and the flour, and how I really conserved that. And I remember how my father really, he loved this country and everything, how he used to, and my mother too, they used to read the papers and watch for all the news, because, you know, remember I told you, my father had two sons still in Europe, and he knew they would be in the army, which they were. And of course he watched very closely everything that happened during the war, and because he did, we all did. World War II, what do I remember? I remember a great deal about that. How did it affect me? Well, of course,